the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello, and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home again. It's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. Welcome back to another episode on the Herbalist Path. Today's guest is pretty darn exciting to me. Her name is Terry, and she is a woman who's kind of been in my herbal circle for quite a while. And she's now in Apothecary Mama, and she's showing up to all of our live classes and all of our live Q&As and really learning a lot. But the more I've gotten to know Terry through just connecting and all of those kinds of things, the more I'm fascinated by her and her story and what brought her into the world of herbal medicine. So, Terry, thank you for being here and taking the time to hang out with me and have a chat on this show and share some of your story. So
thank you. Thank you so much. I am absolutely honored. I am.
Oh. So. That's exciting. Me too. So I'm kind of giddy about it. I want to just hear a little bit about your background. I think what you have shared with me that you do for work or did for work is incredibly valuable in today's world. And I would love to hear about what it is that you did for work.
I'm not working at the moment, but I'm still licensed. But I'm a licensed chemical dependency counselor, and I have worked with all populations from adolescents to adults, both co-ed and then separately adult male and adult female, both residential and outpatient. I worked every aspect, including co-occurring, which is mental health and substance use problems, with the exception of detox. My husband had that covered, so I don't, so I was good. But I've been working in the field since December of 93 and began working towards my licensure in 96 and got licensed in 99. So I've been doing this for a few years. My specialty, what I got kind of pulled into by one of my mentors was specialized women's program, which was pregnant women and women with children. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it would be a stretch to say that 100% of them have some degree of trauma. Mm-hmm. But there is just a great deal of trauma. Working with both male and female, but with the female, the trauma looks different. Mm-hmm. And the support looks entirely different. Yeah. It is very strange to me that people, we're going into my no bucks here, but people are more apt to support men in recovery than they are women. It is very strange that there's more shaming and less support for women.
That's sad and interesting. Especially the pregnant women and the women with children that are creating our next generation of humanity, which undoubtedly that trauma and all of that carries on to these babies. I honestly, I've been doing a lot of trauma healing and releasing of things for my own personal self. So what you do is really fascinating to me in many, many ways. I also had a background. I did wilderness therapy with at-risk high school kids for a bit. And what brought me to do that, like, I loved it. I love that demographic and that age group of kids, and they're going through so much at that time. And more often than not, all of their troubles are rooted with their parents and other various traumatic life experiences. And so all of this is really, really fascinating to me. And what got me into the world of doing wilderness therapy, one, I love to be outside. Two, I was the kid that needed that. And to be able to come into that world and help these kids was amazing. Like, I'm starting to cry right now, but you know, and then digging into that trauma, it goes so deep. So it's so sad that these, that you're finding that women do not get as much support, especially the pregnant moms. And I was actually doing, this is really personal, so I'm not going to go too deep, but I was doing this, a timeline meditation to release some limiting beliefs that are in my subconscious mind about a month or two ago. And I thought for sure I was going to be taken back to like first or second grade when Joey said something mean to me or something along those lines. And instead, on this timeline, like totally in the subconscious brain, I was taken all the way back to when my mother was in second grade. And my mom got the living crap beat out of her on a regular basis. And at this particular time, her mom had come to second grade and dragged my mom out of school by her hair because she didn't take the garbage out. Yada, yada, yada. Sorry, mom, for sharing your story on air. Also, mad props to my mom for coming out of that and not being that mom, and for making change, not only within her immediate family and us, and doing parenting much differently than her mom did. But she also went on to work in social work and help abused children and help single parents and all of that stuff. So I totally got sidetracked there. That was just my life. I love what you do.
It's generational, and we don't, you know, it's hard for parents to look and say, okay, yes, I really messed up here. I wish I could go back and redo. There are no redos. But yeah, and one of the things that I'm incredibly fascinated with is genetic memory. It is it has been attached to autism. I don't think it's limited to autism. I think that it really impacts all of us, especially if there is any kind of trauma involved. I think that that is carried over in genetically, and it is that there's so much to that. I'm telling you that trauma at the cellular level is something we just don't pay enough attention to. And so all the need for the healing is so important. So deep. It's huge. Huge.
It really is huge. And as I'm like currently going through these processes of releasing some of those things, it's mind-blowing. And it's also incredibly powerful, the differences and the impacts that can be made. And, you know, most of what I'm doing right now is not at all herbally based, and this is an herbal show, so I'm sure we'll talk about herbs soon, but there are a lot of herbs that can also support in that time. But I'm really curious. I just want to touch base quickly on what you think
could be some of the core reasons why it is that women are not supported during recovery, chemical dependency, dealing with our traumas, those kinds of things.
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes.
I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas? You don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
Okay, that's a long list. With women being the moms, there's a certain, even the women who are older, who have already raised their children, and even the women who don't have children, they're still being, you know, looked at in a certain way. Because I think in our society, and I don't think that it's all a negative thing as far as like how we view women, because we do view women as the nurturers, the grounders of our homes, of our families. We are often viewed as the glue. Mm-hmm. And so when the, you know, and I'm thinking in terms of like traditional generational times, men have always been the ones to go away from the home. They go and they do their providing, they work or do whatever to provide for the families, while the women have always traditionally been the ones to stay home and hold it all together. So now you fast forward to now and you have women that are using substances or even smoking. Well, gosh, this started back when women started smoking cigarettes. The harshness, the way people view that is so much more harsh because of how we've always viewed women in terms of being the one to the stabilizers. And all of a sudden our stabilizers, our rocks, our glue looks like they're falling apart. Mm-hmm. And our society cannot handle that.
Right.
And so
nor can they support them.
Nor can they support it. And because, you know, we're going to shame them into submission. So, and that just slipped out. But there it is.
Yeah.
But then also, and this is what's really so incredibly interesting, we, the women, are the biggest forms of support. And so we are always there. And so a lot of the support that comes with the men that are in treatment or in recovery, the women are the ones that are supporting them, because we are the nurturers, because we are the glue. We are that rock. And so we do that because we're going to love our kids no matter what. We're going to love our families no matter what. We are, that is true to our nature, I believe. And then men do, they always think in terms of, and this is, I'm just speaking generally, and anybody can step out of these little boxes at any time. It's, this is just, you know, generally. So men are generally the ones that they do one box at a time. I'm going to go work now. So while I'm at work, I can't deal with this other stuff. Where women are the ones that we are, you know, we're homeschooling, we're prepping meals, we're doing all those things. That's
we're the emotional support for everybody.
Exactly. That's exactly. It's like, let me check the fever. Let me do. So we do those things, and that's who we are. And I believe that we are absolutely designed that way. And I think that that's amazing and beautiful. But we are we're the worst enemies of each other sometimes. And in this case, women are the harshest judgers of other women. And it's hard to look at. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are it makes us feel vulnerable. When we see women falling apart, I think that at some point, at some level, we begin to look at that and think, God, that could be me. And so I think that that is a piece of it. It's just a piece. I don't think that that's all of it. But then also that traditional mindset of who we are supposed to be as women comes into play. And so I think it's women judge women harder. And then, of course, you know, men also judge women. And so you have all of these people looking at these women falling apart, and their support system falls apart. Then you bring in kids. And I think if anybody looks at themselves or thinks about this, honestly, when kids are involved, we all get involved. We all start having an opinion. Because I think by nature, we as human beings want to protect the young. That is men and women. That is just who we are. And as a being, and thankfully that is true, I, you know, for the most part. So when you have children involved, pregnant or already born children, then you have a certain way of looking at that. People begin to look at that in a different way. It's like, how dare you do that to those kids?
Yep.
And so that happens, and that happens a lot. And then you have these women who have trauma issues, who then have this guilt and shame issue attached to it, who now don't know what to do. And then I'm telling you, this is like a vicious, horrible cycle. Women get into this lifestyle, or they, you know, are born into it, or whatever happens. And then children become involved. And the amount of shame and guilt attached to that is just amplified tenfold. It is horrible. These women, it's like they begin to feel better and feel like there's some hope. And then suddenly they're having to deal with the after effects or the aftershock with their children because of how their kids have been affected. And then that shame and guilt is just amplified again and again and again. So holding on to women in recovery is incredibly important for generational purposes. It's incredibly important to find support and structure for women so that they can maintain that recovery, because that is not an easy process when you're dealing with the ongoing aftershocks. Because unfortunately, our society has for some reason, men have stepped away a lot from families and have left women standing alone. And that is very unfortunate, because they are just as important to the family as the women are. And but that has placed way more responsibility and stress on women. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is, it's very unfortunate. And then I've also worked with domestic violence. And so there, you know, you look at that and there's, and that is absolutely involved when you have substances. That's a whole nother form of trauma.
Yeah.
Which also affects the children. That's a long way of saying these people really need, and I'm, when I say these people, I mean our society at large, but the individuals that are seeking recovery or seeking to escape that world really need as much support for that recovery process as possible. And I think, and gosh, the, here you go with the herbs, because every time we start talking about herbs, I can't help but thinking that counselor mindset and think, oh my gosh, this could be so helpful. Oh my gosh, I wish there was a way we could incorporate. And so, and especially with our pregnant women, because so often doctors would be saying, oh, here, you can take this medicine, you can take that medicine. And I'd be like, did they talk anything about dietary needs? Did they, you know, my mind would go there. And it's really difficult because my entire career, I've worked with not-for-profit. Mm-hmm. And so finances are incredibly limited. Mm-hmm. So that has been a huge challenge. But so every time we're talking about these herbs, especially, you know, the wine class that we were talking about the moms, pardon me, I just couldn't help but think about all these women that we have served that never had that beautiful opportunity of bonding and connecting with their babies, that were not nurtured throughout their pregnancy, and then at that birth get that beautiful moment with their, with these little humans that they've brought into this world. And it just really is heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
I think that if there was that in place, if there was a way that we could incorporate that somehow for our pregnant women seeking help, oh my word, what that would do for their, the empowerment, the strength, that drive to maintain that recovery. Mm-hmm. For themselves and for this person that they just bonded with in a way that these women don't get to bond with. Because, you know, a lot of them are on Medicaid. And when I heard that you guys, the Medicaid was going to be paying for midwives and some other stuff, was that in Oregon? I was just like blown away. Are you kidding me? Like, that's, we need that. So mm-hmm. seriously, those are the things that Medicaid truly needs to be paying for. Mm-hmm. So when I start thinking about those things and I think, oh my word, this is like revolutionary. And how do I find a voice? How do I step up? How do I address this? Where do I go? Because I think about that, and I'm not currently working with women, in all fairness, because of my situation mm-hmm. with my grandson. Mm-hmm. I had to step away.
Yeah.
From the women, because I did. I got angry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a lot to be angry about. It's such a
yes.
It's not a system set up for us to thrive. It's a system set up for us to stay in pain and in misery yes. and in mm-hmm. sadness and continuing to pay into the corruption. And
that's
so freaking mm-hmm. broken.
It's so very, broken. Very broken.
And it's disgusting. It yes. is not for the betterment of any of us. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation. And it's so different than many of the conversations we have on this show. And it's so real and it's so true. Because there is not, I can tell you, there's not a woman out there that hasn't dealt with some sort of trauma in their lives. There's not a human out there that has not dealt with, especially after 2020. We all had our various levels of trauma, right?
Yes.
And healing from that is huge. But you know, there are some people that have been so fortunate that they did have support, that they didn't go down the road of chemical addiction.
And I'm glad for that.
Fortunate beings, but the majority are not that fortunate. And that's the sadness. And that's what I always loved. Like just listening your comments in our live calls, you're always like, oh my gosh, that would have been so helpful for this. That would have been so helpful for that. And all of those various situations, and it always made me so happy to hear you making those breakthroughs and those revelations. Even though you're not in the field now, that doesn't mean you still can't make an impact in that way. And I know also, let's just shift a little bit, because we'll probably come back to this topic also. I do want to shift a little bit into your story with your grandson. And here we are in a world of trauma again, only with a young human. And he's so fortunate now to have you around. And I'm hoping you can just share a little piece of that story. Obviously, we don't have to go too deep into it, but I think that's what brought you in. I'm not sure where you got your start in herbalism, but I think that might have been a piece of what brought you to Apothecary Mama.
It is. Originally, I started with herbalism because I ended up having medical problems in 94 that ultimately resulted in a complete hysterectomy. So I wasn't able to have kids. But I do have a grandson. In fact, I have other grandchildren. my husband's son has four children. We don't even really know the oldest one. We weren't aware of her until she was older. But anyway, fast forward 9 years ago, when my grandson's mother was pregnant, she and my stepson moved in with us. Long story short, one of them has drug issues, substance issues. One of them does not. She just has I don't know, her own issues. So there was a lot of serious concerns. And so we ended up ultimately getting full custody of my grandson. But in the meantime, in that process of fighting for this kid, he was being exposed to horrible, horrible living conditions, horrible eating habits, cookies for supper, literally, cigarette smoke. I'm certain he was exposed to, you know, just a number of things on top of abuse.
Yeah.
And so when we got full custody and we had full legal right to make medical decisions and et cetera, I'm desperate, you know, because when he was 6 months old, his doctor put him on allergy medicine. And so at 6 months old, this child started taking Zyrtec until I was able to get him off of it, which I did before I had, you know, full custody. But that was with the mom, you know, somewhat being compliant to avoid conflict, I guess, because she was trying to avoid court and we were trying to get him well. So we started taking him off of the Zyrtec and started trying to do some other things. And this is, I really started trying to learn more about herbs, like what can I do for this little person? You know, because I'm telling you, this is where fear truly kicked in for me, because it was one thing for me to look at herbs for myself, but now we're talking about a little bitty person.
Different world.
And I just started getting almost paralyzed. No, I did get paralyzed. I just got paralyzed with fear. And I thought, I can't possibly do it. So I just started trying to dive in and learn as much as I could between, and I was still working full time and, you know, just, and then away from home and all this. So it was just really chaotic and crazy. So, and you know a little bit about my background. I've been trying to do this since 94. And something always comes up, of course, working 60 hours a week, or, you know, that has a way of taking its toll and keeping you from getting involved in things. But so I really, when I started learning a little more, I just started small. Also used, you know, some essential oils. I was very cautious with that because, again, worried. I didn't want to, I'm like, guys, don't let me, I just was constantly praying, don't let me do more damage than good to this child. Let me, please help me. So anyway, so whenever I found Apothecaries, well, before Apothecary Mama, it was one of your workshops. I took a couple of classes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love mail. Get in there. So I did. So I then all of a sudden this Apothecary Mama thing came up and I went, oh my gosh.
Where was I 9 years ago?
Exactly. Yeah. So since then, my first thing that I did, well, which I had done before, but probably not like I do now, was, well, definitely not like I do now, is I started making fire cider. Mm-hmm. And now I do chamomile teas. We do splashes of different herbs or spices with our foods. The neatest thing is this kiddo he participates in what goes in his fire cider. Mm-hmm. He participates in what kind of, like when we sit down to eat dinner, it's like he gets to pick, we're like smelling. And when he was little bitty, it was always, I want a male. So he wanted to smell. He always wanted to smell. So we're talking like before he could even speak, while we were smelling things, we were doing some stuff. But now he gets to pick what herbs or what spices he wants on his food, what goes in his fire cider, his favorite teas. Chamomile is his thing right now. He does have a thing for clove, but very little. He kind of likes ginger, but just a little. Mm-hmm. But he loves cinnamon. We're fixing to introduce some cardamom. You know, we're doing some things like that. And so now whenever I'm in here and, you know, I made some Essiac tea for my husband, that also nearly froze me into paralysis because I was just, I've got to do this right because this man needs to heal. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of petrified about that. And so I read and then I read more and then I read and then I read more. And then finally got the nerve to get the herbs and do the blend. And so now I'm making it that we're on month three of making the Essiac. So I'm like, okay, he's still breathing. I'm good.
Yeah. And now after today's Q&A, you know about the nettle
root. I do. So when you were talking about that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is why I was supposed to be here. This is why I'm supposed to be here. Yay. Because it's like, I learned these pieces and the most important thing I think for me, because, and this is all trauma related.
Right.
Is seriously lacking self-confidence or recognizing that I am capable of doing what the next herbalist is capable of doing. And I'm just now starting to call myself an herbalist. You know, I'm like, I know my grandson does. he says, you know, he's like, I'm so glad my Mimi's an herbalist. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am. So aww, it's really neat. I love that. And so, and it's really funny because he'll tell me he learns and he smells the herbs and, you know, like we talk about what they smell like and he loves Tulsi.
So does my girl.
I'm telling you, I'm like, so do I. I'm like, oh my gosh, where was this whenever I was a kid?
Mm-hmm, so, right.
It's just, I love it. And then, so we smell herbs together. We talk about them. And then I said, you know, you're an herbalist too, right? You know this, right? He goes, well, I'll be an herbalist, but that's not what I'm going to do. And I went, aww. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to do it. You can be an herbalist and still do other stuff.
Totally.
So he's, we do some things like, we wild harvest some stuff out of our yard. Mm-hmm. We wild harvest some dandelion leaves. I try to leave the flowers for our pollinators. And then, and then whenever there's more, but we've been kind of lacking due to no rain. Mm-hmm. So dandelion leaves, what else?
Purslane.
Purslane and clovers.
Clovers, yeah. Of course.
I love that. I love that you're an herbalist already, bud.
Yeah.
My daughter's your age too, and she's an herbalist too. So she'll be 10 in July, and she loves Tulsi. Chamomile is like her best friend. She also, you love chamomile too?
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah. It's her favorite too.
Yeah.
Why is chamomile your favorite?
I don't know. It's like the flavor, texture, and then the smell of it. That's the most favorite part.
What does it smell like to you?
I don't know. It smells like a bunch of things at once.
Yeah.
It's got a special scent to it. I feel like it's almost like sweet apples, but a little bit
honey-ish or something. Yeah.
Yeah. How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel more calm. It makes me like I just now had some of her tea, which it's relaxed tea, and it's helped me be calm and think clearly, not be at 20 places at one time.
Oh, yeah. That's so powerful. That's really, really great. How else do you think herbs have helped you?
You're moving a little bit so the camera can see you. What about baseball?
Well, it's helped me focus more on the game. And then it's also helping me think clearly instead of be like, oh, I need to get that guy out, instead of focusing on the runners and all that.
Nice. And
that's what it helps me out with.
That is so cool. What position do you play in baseball?
Shortstop.
And
pitcher. Uh-huh.
Nice. I played softball growing up when I was young, and I was a catcher, and I'm playing now as an old adult. I'm 44, and I was at shortstop just 2 days ago, and I was like, shortstop is not my stop. You got to be quick, and you got to have a real good fast arm to be at shortstop.
Ozzie Smith is the best.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so cool. I love hearing your story.
Yeah. So what's your favorite combo of wild harvesting out of the yard? Like, what do you like to do the most?
What do you mean?
Like when you harvest out of the yard, what's your favorite
thing
to eat?
Purslane and clover.
Nice.
And then clover and dandelion.
Do you like to eat the like little pieces of the red clover flowers, or they're so sweet like honey?
It's actually the little four leaf clovers.
Oh yeah,
it's the clovers and wraps them in a dandelion leaf and then pops it in his mouth and eats it.
Awesome! That is so nourishing. That's so good. My daughter, so we have wood sorrel, like our little clovers in the woods. And since my little girl was 1.5 toddling around, she always in the spring is running to eat those and. They're her favorite too. You guys should hang out. Maybe one day we'll travel to Texas, or you'll travel to Oregon, and we can get you guys together and play.
It would be better for us to go to Oregon. There's very little
probably. So. I bet if you came to Oregon, it would blow your mind.
I would probably not want to leave.
No, you wouldn't. I would also get you guys a ride, especially that little man in a snowcat up to the top of Mount Hood.
Ooh, wow.
Talk about unforgettable.
He always, like, if there's ever a threat of snow around here, this kid is like at the window waiting for it to snow. Like,
oh, it's so cool.
You know, it's just it's a rarity around here. So,
oh, what a sweet kid. I'm so grateful that he has you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tell her about the fruit bowl.
Tell me about the fruit bowl.
Yeah. You can tell her about the fruit. He makes his own little lunch and he combines all kinds of different stuff, like different fruits and berries.
Get rid of the turkey.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get rid of that and then we're done with the meat.
Yeah, you won't be eating meat anymore at all.
Yeah.
So he does the fruits and he makes his own little combinations of stuff, which is fruits and nuts and berries and usually. Okay.
So cool.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. I'm so happy that he has you. Like, if only all of the kids growing up in that kind of situation could have someone like you to come help
them. Yeah. I can't, it's sad because I learned that the Texas law does not support families that are trying to step in, especially grandparents have zero rights. And so it was a 4-year legal battle and it took it out of us, really. So we, you know, again, with the herbs, it was like we had to keep our strength up. Like we had to really find a way to take care of ourselves without pharmaceuticals. See, I want to be careful about what I say.
Mm-hmm.
But we just had to find a way to really take care of ourselves without taking a bunch of a pill for this, a pill for that, and
chemical dependency.
even things, you know, I listen to soapbox. Sorry, you might want to
please. I love it.
Edit this out if you need to. I can appreciate other people's views on these things. I really can, but pharma is one of my soapboxes, and
you're in my classes. Sorry to cut you off, but I think just quickly, my piece before I let you really go on a roll, you've been in my classes long enough.
Yes.
To know that I absolutely believe that there are necessary times for pharmaceuticals. And it's corrupt as can be. Now the floor is yours.
And that's where because I agree. There are some life-saving special things that are... thankfully they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is absolutely my soapbox whenever I hear the long list of side effects and the individuals that I've worked with over the years that have to take this med for this side effect, this med for that side effect, and it is one medication to treat one thing turns into 10 medications. And it is so anyway, I'm going to leave that one there.
Yeah.
We just wanted to be able to take care of ourselves and, try to get through the stress.
So what herbs did you turn to keep your vitality and energy strong and to support the nerves during, know what court battles are like and custody battles. They are not easy.
They get really ugly.
Yeah.
And they really get ugly when nobody wants to deal with. Anyway, I am probably not the easiest person in the world to deal with because I will not surrender easily whenever it comes to protecting
the child. Oh, you're strong? You speak up for what's right.
I had no choice but to be. It was like, oh my gosh. And I can't tell you how many times I when we would come home that I would just literally bawl and just feel like it was just dark. Yeah. So I really didn't have any, I was mentally spent.
Yeah.
So I would just go and buy blends that were already blended either in the grocery store, which I know that is probably not the best, but they've got some good blends in there.
Yeah.
So I'd go and get blends from the grocery store. There's, one lady, I only knew of this one person, and she had just a few blends and that was it. It was more like stones and other stuff like that in her shop, but I think she's expanded some. And so I was just stretching. I was just like whatever. And so I did go, there's a pharmacy here. It's a little, this is irony here. It's a pharmacy. Mm-hmm. But then within that pharmacy, they have herbs, which...
Just like it used to be.
Right. And so I found that to be really interesting. So I would go in there sometime and look for things. And I got milk thistle for, because I did know that the liver will stress affects the liver, and the liver affects the entire body. Mm-hmm. So there was some milk thistle. I think I tried dandelion coffee. I did some things. I was willing to try. I did not like the dandelion coffee. I will be really clear about that one.
Right.
So I wanted to find other ways to use the dandelion. I want to throw dandelion in my salads now. That's what I want to do with dandelion. But I think they're beautiful. I think they're here for a reason, and I want to utilize them. So we just did, I piecemealed it. And then whenever Apothecary Mamas, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like all of these millions of puzzle pieces are slowly starting to come together. Like, I'm really beginning to make sense of little pieces. And I keep thinking, one of these days, I'm going to be able to confidently go, I'm an herbalist. But right now, it's still like, well, I'm an herbalist.
On that piece, it took me 15, 20 years to really say it. I was already running a successful product line. I had my own herbal apothecary, and I'm like, can I call myself an herbalist yet?
I know, that is hilarious.
Isn't it? Like, it took...
Why?
Well, I think for me, it was because a lot of the teachers I learned from are freaking brilliant, and they've been doing it for 40 years more than me. One of my greatest teachers, Paul Bergner, who had always emphasized, he's like, well, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I figure I have about 90 more to go before I am a master herbalist. And so that was always here. And I had a lot of imposter syndrome, honestly, a lot of I learned from doctors and medical herbalists and really, truly brilliant people. Not to say that I'm not brilliant. Also, I'm an intelligent being, but I had inner subconscious blocks mm-hmm. saying, oh, you're not good enough to call yourself an herbalist. Mm-hmm. What? I am mm-hmm. a really good herbalist, you know? And so I had to, it even took me having a conversation with one of my dear friends who is a naturopath. Her name's Dr. Orna Isaacson, and she used to run one of the herbal programs at the naturopathic college that I was at every year. And I would be there with my product line, and she would talk about me and my products alongside Herb Barm, alongside Oregon's Wild Harvest, alongside Eclectic Institute, the biggest herbal companies. And she's like, and there's Mountain Mel's. And I'm like, me? But I'm just this little herbalist, right? And this is just my own issues, right? But then as I started stepping out more as a teacher, I've been teaching for over a decade in small community classes. But as I come out more and more, I do have a lot of knowledge to share with people far beyond typical internet and social media herbalism. And I was having a conversation with Orna, and I had always had this who am I to teach this when my friends are doctors and this and that? And I was like, Orna, I can't. And she was one of the people that came up the most in my brain, right? I just feel like, who am I to be teaching this? And she was like, Mel, you have been doing this. You have put in the work. You have studied for hours upon hours and years, and you have run an herbal product line. You have run an herbal apothecary. You have taught people for years. She had me teach at the naturopathic college. You are a mom. You are who needs to be doing this. And I was like,
you have it. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me get through my crap. But anyways, an herbalist comes in so many different fashions. Your boy there is an herbalist. You know, you, Terry, are an herbalist. And we herbalists are in so many different shapes and sizes. If you are using plant medicine, you are an herbalist. Does that mean you're going to start working with people clinically or working to heal your community? You might need a little more education.
Right.
But yeah, it's an interesting.
Yeah. And just the amount of, once I posted that question about the Albizia tuberosin, because I can't wait. I'm so excited to make my first tincture.
Yay!
And especially using the beautiful blooms from my own beautiful tree. I love her. And I've always, when the first time I was able to smell the, I don't remember the smell as a kid.
Yeah.
And then one night I was sitting out back after, she finally got a full bloom. I was like, where's that smell coming from? I could not believe it. And then I walked up and I said, oh my goodness, I never knew. And so I was already in love with her, but oh my goodness, like I love her. She's so beautiful. And my grandson has been climbing her since he was able to walk.
I love that.
He just gets, he climbs it. And it's really funny because I have a picture of him. Actually, it's a video of him being up there. And I was asking him, what are you doing? And he starts telling me, he's like, get up here. I'm like, no. And then he hugs her. And I'm like, oh, I love that. Because I'm like, I love him.
He is such a sweet kid. Oh, I love that too. Like we talked about in today's class, like as you're talking about this tree, it brings me happiness and joy.
Yeah.
And I don't have an Albizia tree in my yard, but I do know, like when I was going through clinical herb school, I would walk around the communities in Portland and there were always a lot of the trees, and I would take the blossoms and just feather them on my cheeks. And it would just give me that bubbly, joyous sense of happiness that I'm getting hearing about your grandson hugging that tree and knowing that you're going to make this incredible tincture. I'm like, oh, send me some.
I know. I will. And it's really funny because it's like, I don't know why Art Deco always comes to my mind, but with these little blooms, like I think Art Deco for whatever reason, I don't know. I'm older than you, so it's it's really funny.
You're more wise than I.
Well, I don't know, but it's like, the amount of, I had posted that question because I started thinking the blooms are so delicate and the amount of digging and reading. And then also, this is one of the things. Okay, so here I go. One of the things, there's so many, Mel, but one of the things that I've really gained from you is the confidence to know whenever I'm reading, if I have to go searching somewhere on the internet, I almost immediately I'm able to now go, oh, whatever, close. And then some of them where I'm able to read and a little more and go, okay, that's still a little not too, that would be like me posting something out there, giving somebody advice. And it's like, no, not. So anyway, I'm really learning where to go, because that was one of my initial issues, was that where are the resources, especially when we're stuck out here in the middle of nowhere. With, we had a one shop that was open to here for a few years, I guess, but I'd walk in there and there was still only a few herbs that was in there. It was bulk herbs, and then they also had bulk grains, I guess. I'm trying to remember, but it was so long ago, and I had no knowledge yet. I was so fascinated and drawn to it without the knowledge already. But I would look at those things and I would think, I wonder what those are used for. That was always it nagged me. But I just, again, I was working almost 60 hours a week and just, so I grabbed a book by Jenny Rose and I was like, oh my gosh, you can use this stuff for medicine. And I'm thinking, and I'm telling you, it took me back to a childhood memory that, just gave me goosebumps all over. And so I bought this book and somebody borrowed it. I bought it again. And I marked it up with my name and somebody borrowed it and it never returned. So I had to buy it three times. I'm like, I can't afford to be buying the same book three times, y'all. No, you can't borrow it.
Guilty. I know. And I've let other people use like $130 herb books and never gotten them back. And I'm like, oh.
Okay. No, I'm like, no, you're welcome to come to my house. We'll look at it and read it together, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I've always been drawn to it, but the confidence that it's just starting to peek its little head up. I love that. And one of the things I'm really looking forward to, and I've said this a couple of times in our lives, is that sense of it, of I just went blank. Empowerment, just mm-hmm. that the empowerment to know that I'm beginning to learn what this plant is. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to learn that you can use certain parts of this plant, how you can use certain parts of this plant, that it's literally medicine from the earth that is right here in front of me, that I can, this thing that I've always been fascinated with or you know, maybe even annoyed with sometimes, but not so that I'm okay with people putting chemicals on. So, you know, I'm always like, okay, just pull it. I mean, don't poison it, pull it, just don't, you know, but now I'm kind of like, no, do not weed eat that area.
Those are my medicine.
These are my people.
These are my friends.
These are my people over here. So under the mimosa, when we have a ton of little dandelions that just pop up, they're not very big. The leaves don't ever get very big, but I'm always like that's off limits until other stuff starts blooming so that our pollinators have something to have. I'm like, so every, you know, my husband and my grandson both know that is off limits. You leave that alone, let our pollinators have their nectar, and then we will go, we'll take it down later. But I've been saving some of my little dandelion seeds so that I can plant intentionally a little dandelion garden. Mm-hmm. And I figure since they pop up here quite a bit that maybe I'll have better luck than you have had with the dandelions. I'm hoping.
I have many more in my yard this year than I did last year. Well, like five more.
Because they had to find the moisture from somewhere and they've got it from y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you've got some though. Yeah.
I'm letting them go also though, just to get more.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I have some out here now that have gone to puff. And so I'm going to let those go because I have a few seeds saved or, you know, a couple of puffs worth. I don't even know what to call that. It's a little.
It's a poof to me.
Yeah. So I've saved the seeds from that. But so even thinking that way and which I always have, I guess, since I was a kid. But then I got too busy and it wasn't important to those around me. And so, in fact, I've been accused of, don't you think you're taking this a little too far? I've heard that for a lot of years, I've heard that. And now I'm like, I don't care if you think I am or not, but my husband is supportive and I'm blessed to have that. He's not as well, he's getting into it. Obviously he made a choice to do holistic lifestyle versus radiation immediately. And so, you know, we'll know more later in August, but my grandson's kind of into it. He's like, and he'll even say, don't, you can't take those down. Those are Mimi's. So, you know, it's really neat. So my family has shifted in that direction. But I'm looking forward to more knowledge, but the amount of research and digging that I did just to try to learn a little bit more about how to make this tincture, because I was I thought, oh, wow, that seems very strong for this bloom. And so I wanted to see if I could figure out maybe. And so, and then you answered my question, and I'm so thankful for that, because like I was gonna, you know, just, I didn't know what I was gonna do. But, and then having that chart, like when the first time I saw that chart, by the way, I looked at that chart and it was like, I was looking at a foreign language, which I was. I now know that it is its language of its own.
It is.
But it was like looking at a foreign language. And at my age, and like literally, like, you know, I've said to you previously, my mind has been in one direction since I was in my early 20s. And I'm 53. And I'm having to shift gears. I'm telling you, it's not even 180. It's almost like a 360. Mm-hmm. I've had to turn all the way around to the beginning, because this is where I probably started when I was little. Like when I was little bitty, I was fascinated with plants. And I always thought, this was what my mind always went to, was, I wonder why God put this here. I wonder why this is here. So like as a little girl, and I would go through and pick wildflowers and make either leis for my mother, or I would make little flower arrangements. It was my time alone. I was the oldest in a large family. And so there was a lot of responsibility on me. So anyway, that was kind of like my time alone in nature. And I would go out there and pick little wildflowers and, you know, do all that. And there's this one, and gosh, I wish I could remember the name of it. I cannot, but it has silver leaves. I say silver, they're furry silver leaves. They have little stickers and pricklies all the way up the stem. And they have the most beautiful purple flower with a yellow stamen. And they are one of the most beautiful flowers I've ever seen in my life, still to this day. It is called a weed here. People hate this flower. I love it. I don't think that it has any medicinal purposes, but it might. I will always keep that in mind, because I remember what you've said is you've always, you know, that you're like, oh, there, but there very well may be a reason for it to be here as far as medicine. But I remember trying to pick this flower because it is beautiful to me. And I wasn't able to because it's all prickly. And I mean, it was like, you know, really bad prickly. So I got creative, and I would grab some leaves and wrap it around it and try to, but it would go right through. So after several attempts, I looked up and was like, I'm determined. I'm going to find one I can pick, you know, like suddenly one of them wasn't going to have stickers or something. And when I looked up, I realized there were very few of them. And so I was like, oh, that's why God had to put stickers on them, so they wouldn't all go away. And that is, I'm getting back to that. Like I'm gaining that back. Like I lost that over the years being away from nature, and that's coming back to me.
I am so now.
So it's like a full 360. I've come back to where I should have been all along, and life took me in way different directions. And now I'm kind of coming back, and I'm still working in the outward, and I'm not working, but I'm still in the field. It's just, I'm not currently working. And, you know, and I will return to work in my field, but I never want to ever lose, this path. And, you know that it's taken me a long time since 1994. There's been so many derailments, and, I think I have such a strong hook into it this time that I'll be damned is kind of where I'm at if I'm going to let go, because this is who I am. This is who I really am supposed to be. This is my love. It means that much to me. And I believe in natural medicine. I believe in just nature, just taking care of our nature. I am huge on trying to, you know, like I said earlier, I hate the word consumer. It bothers me to no end, because to me, I just envision a human vacuum. And I try to buy things in glass so I can reuse it. I think you and I share a love for I mean, whenever I look at a glass jar, sometimes I when you call it sexy,
that's a sexy jar. I look at glass jars
sometimes. I'm like, oh my gosh, look how sexy this jar is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I love that thing. And so just trying in my family, trying to move into that with me is making me happy, because I just, you know, I would prefer to not use paper plates. I would rather, you know, wash the dish. It is not that complicated. Mm-hmm. I would rather use a glass jar, mason jar, to drink my tea out of than to, you know, a plastic cup or one that's not going to be disposable or used, able to be used for other purposes. I've gotten to where the thought of styrofoam just makes my stomach hurt.
In my heart.
There's just those things that, and then I look around and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's going to be poison to my compost or my garden. It can't go there. So I'm really just that whole shift. And now that we are doing plant-based eating, it's like, oh my gosh, we are there. We are finally
doing it.
We're doing it. We are so there. And it's really funny because I never thought that my husband would ever get to that place where he would be into plant-based eating. So when he made that choice that day, it was like, oh my word, we're doing this. And so I constantly say things to him like, see what plants do? See what plants do? This is amazing. See what plants can do? This is so cool. Plants can do all this. And so the teas and the, now I'm going to be getting into the tinctures, and I got my glycerin in so I can make some glycerates for my grandson. And I'm like, you know, I got that, the Echinacea purpurea on, you know, I got that. So now I'm like, oh my gosh, now I know what to do for the tingle, for the,
yeah,
I'm going to be making tinctures and glycerin. So I'm getting giddy and excited about all this. I've got, you know, I did not have a clue that, the liquor stores had gotten so big. Mm. I went to go get some alcohol and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like a super center. Mm-hmm. When did that happen? Like, I've not been in
all the craft makers, you know, everybody's getting, you know, into this.
I'm like, wow. So yeah. And I was like, well, I need, you know, this is what I'm looking for. And I was looking for organic. That wasn't, they looked at me funny. And so
what
I thought,
do you mean organic booze?
I know. I'm like, okay. I said, well, okay, if that's not available, then I just need, you know, this and this. She goes, well, we have this flavor, this flavor. And I'm like, no, oh my gosh, how many? I have not been in a liquor store since I was probably, well, I never was in one legally, but so, you know, I'll just say that. You
know. We'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so now I walked in and was like, oh my gosh, where do I go? So even that has been an experience and a learning experience in itself. And so, oh my gosh, Mel, there's so much knowledge. How you would ever doubt calling yourself an herbalist, I don't know. But let me reassure you, as a brand new...
brand new since 1994.
yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean... like I would learn a little bit or start reading something and then work would take me away. And then I would come back to it and I would be trying. And, you know, in that process, I started trying to learn about essential oils and herbs and essential oils, by the way, and I'm sure you know this, were way more available than herbs were, which is very strange. But of course, there was, you know, a market. I will stop there for that. And but then I started, you know, again, that instinct kind of kicked in and I started thinking, I'm backing off and I need to do some more research. I need to read some more. I need to learn some more. And I'm glad that I've done that. Herbs are, plants are my love, and that's in many, many, many forms. Yeah. I started in horticulture when I was 17. I took a little semester class and life derailed me again, and I will leave that there. That's an ugly,
dark place. That's what life does. That's what life does.
It does. It does that. It has a way. And now I'm like going, oh my gosh, I wish I could be 17 again and be in horticulture. And I just would absolutely love to be back there, but with today's knowledge.
Right.
But it's not
possible.
Wouldn't
that be great if we could do that for so many things? You know,
if I could do that, it would be like, we'd be talking a different language today. But so I'm really, I'm getting there slowly. And that's what I've really had to learn how to do is know that it's not going to happen today. I have to, yes, I have to literally, I have to just remember that it's okay that I'm at this age, learning a whole new language, learning a whole new culture. I mean, it's a whole new culture even.
It's a lifestyle.
It is. It's an entire...
You're absolutely, you hit the nail on the head with it being a whole new language. I remember when I was really starting to dive into my herbal studies and taking classes galore constantly, which again, I still take classes today. I remember specifically saying, I'm learning an entirely new language. Because I wasn't raised on this, you know, I magically went down that path in whatever way, shape, or form. I had no idea when I started learning this that it was going to become what I am today. You know, I had no idea. And it's funny when you talked about getting into horticulture at the age of 17, I worked in landscaping when I was 16 and 17 because I wanted to be outside and I wanted to be with the plants. And like, I did that and I did car washes because I love cars. And fascinating the way
I got into horticulture because I wanted to learn how to make to grow the prettiest marijuana plant. I'll be real honest about that.
I mean, I live in Oregon, Terry. So, I mean, I
know. So, and here it's not legal. So I thought, well, maybe I better not go down that road. But then, too, you know,
powerful medicine that plant is.
It is. It has an incredible, powerful medicine. And ironically, working in the field, I am not against cannabis as a form of medication. In fact, I advocate for that. And I think it is incredibly underutilized as well as hemp. I've just learned so much about the hemp plant too, and how it works with drawing toxins out of the soil.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It would be so much better. Why? Because the right people don't profit off of it.
That's correct. And so
we are aware now that our water protection has now been reduced.
Yes.
For a few big companies to profit off of. And it just so happens that the pharmaceutical industry is one of the world's biggest polluters of our water systems. What could be happening? Sorry.
I know. Yep. There you go. And I can I'm sure I'm turning red. I can feel it because that is,
it's infuriating.
It is. And it really, truly is.
What can we do? We can change ourselves. We can change our families. I see for you, Terry, honestly, when you are at that point, when you're ready and able to get back into the workforce, I can fully see you integrating more plant medicines with those people that you're working with.
Yes.
And I think that's absolutely amazing. And I thank you for that. It is needed. It is absolutely needed, especially where you are, and especially with those demographics of people. So again, it's always brought so much to my heart to have you in the classes, and the many times I've heard you say, that would have been so great to know when I was doing this. That would have been so great to know when I was helping this person or that person. And now you do know, and you also understand the value of good research and how much time that does take. I think a lot of people, including myself, we all do want that instant fix. We want the instant fix, whether it's in a pill form or just boom, now I have all the knowledge. Because I mean, who doesn't have Google at their hands? I want all the knowledge too, instantly. Like if I could take all the books that I have behind me and just make them go boop.
I know. I wish I could too. That's it. I'm like, oh no, I want this. It's like I feel like Pac-Man. I want to just munch it up and like take it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do. And that's where this is life's work. You know, you're still young. You're only 53.
See, I love that. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you said it that way because it's like I've got all these years left to learn and I can incorporate this.
And look at you're incorporating it into your grandson's life now.
Yes. Yes.
Did you see how he came over and talked about herbs?
I know. Did you see that?
I did.
He just told me he's good. He said he just can't. He told me I'm gonna go move my strawberries in.
Oh, I love him.
Because the wind is kicking up. And so he knows that the strawberries don't like the wind. So he's moving the strawberries in.
What a sweet kid.
I feel blessed. That I have the, I guess the foresight to know that it's going to be incredibly important to give him this information and knowledge.
Absolutely.
My mother didn't have it. My grandmother passed away, when my mother was five. And so, that got lost.
Yeah.
And so, it's very important to me. And I always say, going back to my roots, because I know that my ancestors, I'm Irish and Native American, and I know my ancestors used herbs. Yep. I have no question about that.
Every one of ours did.
Yeah. So it's like, herbs are so important. I mean, that's where everything began. I'll say that.
Yeah.
See, I gotta be really careful not to go onto that soapbox, but that's where everything began was with plants and plant medicine.
For sure.
From the very beginning.
Absolutely. It's only been the past 150, 200 years that this knowledge and wisdom has not been passed down to generation to generation with grand intention from the powers that be that were like, hey, let us profit heavily and suppress the empowerment and wisdom of the common people. Wouldn't that be great?
No.
And then we'll look at that. And then also too, just seeing I'm learning too, because you know, being new to homeschool, learning more about that stuff, some of the intentions. Mm-hmm. We have really done a lot as a nation or society. I don't think it's just here to separate and divide families. Yeah. And in that process, we have lost that knowledge. It has not been passed down. It's just incredibly sad because there's so many different ways that the family has been so negatively impacted. And I'm telling you, learning how to grow food. See, I say that. You already know this. Learning how to grow food, how to make medicine from our plants. One of the things, and this keeps coming to my mind, I'm gonna have to say this, and I'm probably rolling in circles here, but one of the things that constantly comes to my mind is the old wives' tales. Oh, it's just an old wives' tale. No, there's truth to this, but we added that somewhere along the way, old wives' tale. To minimize or to discredit.
Negate, yeah.
And it's like, no, there's truth to what we've been told. Mm-hmm. And we need to go back to those old wives' tales because those are old wives' tales.
Right. And wives are brilliant.
That's correct.
We are the nurturers and the caretakers.
That is correct. And so I think about that terminology all the time and how it was used to, you know, negate. But when in fact, it should have been doing the opposite. Oh, really? Tell me about that then.
Yeah. Tell me this wisdom you have. Yeah. Terry, I love this, and I could talk to you for days and days and days, and I hope to. I really do.
I'll be around.
I'm either going to travel through Texas, or you're going to come to Oregon, or something along those lines. But we should wrap up this episode. Mm-hmm. And before we do, I want to ask you two questions.
Okay.
Number one, if you could pick one, what's the one herb you would pick and why?
Oh, mercy. Let me think.
This is such a tough question.
Oh, okay. See, several have run through my head. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with rosemary. Wait. I'm going to go with... See, that's...
It's hard.
I'm going to go with garlic.
Nice.
I'm going to go with garlic. There are several that came to my mind, but if I only had one, and if I could only choose one that I could use, it would have to be garlic because of its incredible properties. It's a superhero. It is that prevention, it's that treatment, it's that
yummy.
It's so yummy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to walk around telling people sometimes, I'm so sorry, I love garlic, because I know I smell like garlic. Well, I don't even care.
I've gotten rid of the apologies. I'm like,
okay, see, I'll be there eventually, but right now I'm like, I'm so sorry, I know I smell like garlic, but
that's so
yeah,
funny.
Garlic. So that, I'll stick with that one.
I love that. That's a great, great, great choice. And then the other question, as we are about to open up enrollment into Apothecary Mamas, you are an Apothecary Mama and Medicine Making Mama, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I would love for you to share any wisdom or advice that you would have for anybody that's just thinking, maybe I might want to join this program. What would you say to them?
Well, I just talked to a friend last night, in fact, about this very thing, because she called me going, I think I'm interested in learning about herbs. And I went, oh, I have some information for you. So for the Apothecary Mamas, I would say just learning that there are some solutions, learning some, the recipes. Oh, my gosh, Mel, thank you so much. Your information that you are so openly sharing is just a godsend for me, because it gives me a place to start, especially because I'm new. I don't have the knowledge, and I trust you. And so it's like, okay, I have a place to start while I'm learning. Mm-hmm. And that is so incredibly helpful. That is just literally a godsend for me. And then just getting to learn and then ask questions and then being in there and knowing that, okay, we're going to learn something new. It's just all the time. It's learning every week. It's like, even through other people's questions, like I've said this several times, gosh, I didn't even know I had that question until you answer it or until someone else asks. And it's like, oh yeah, that is one of my questions. So it is just incredibly helpful for me to be around other people that are still trying to learn. Some are farther advanced than me. Some are right there with me. And, but it's good. I feel at home where everybody can kind of talk about what are you guys doing with this, or how would you guys do that? I love that. I absolutely love that. And then the medicine making, which because I think I skipped crawling and went to running. I'm not sure how that happened, but
I want it all now.
I want it right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's where I want to be. And I'm going to run as fast as I can to it. So, I love the Apothecary Mamas because it does. It's kind of like that. There's milk and meat. Yeah. And so there's the milk, the softer, gentler information that is more kind of spoon-fed, I guess. I'm trying to use terminology that makes sense to people that don't speak herb geek.
Herb geek speak is important speak.
I love that. I do love it. I'm beginning to have a little bit of that. But
you're picking up some bellisms.
I love the apothecary mamas because of it's smaller doses. It's that information that you need to get to that the meat. The meat to me is the medicine making. Mm-hmm. And so, and not that the other isn't meat, because it is, but in my mind, I've got the two little compartments, which really are not two little compartments, but we'll just go with that. they're so huge that like my head just went out into a huge wheel with a million sparks. But then the medicine making is kind of like, holy cow. Oh my gosh. I'm now diving in. And so the apothecary mamas helps prepare, gives you knowledge, extremely important knowledge. I mean, I've always thought this, but whenever you said it and I learned it, and I can't remember the lady, but I do remember taking the note, when not all fevers need to be broken, some need to be supported. And the first time I heard you say that, I went, holy cow, I've been right. Like, are you kidding me? Like that. So validation, empowerment, support, like a hand up to someone to help. It's kind of like somebody holding my hand as I'm learning to walk through this process. And I can't tell you how important that has been for me. Like that is like, I don't want to cry because I'm starting to feel like a cry.
I'm about to.
But like it, you know, like I said, I started this journey in 1994, and for it to have taken me this long to get where I'm at today, and that has been because I finally found you and what you have been offering. And I can't tell you what a blessing that has been to me as a person. It has nurtured this human here, but also my family is being benefited from this. Yeah. And my grandson, but not just my grandson, but my husband now.
Yeah.
And so that is so incredibly empowering and a blessing. Like I just can't express that enough. It is such a blessing. Like I was supposed to find you, and I am so thankful I did. And the knowledge that you have given so freely is just so, I could squeeze you.
You're making me cry. You're making my teacher heart so happy, and my herbalist heart so happy, and my whole mission behind everything I do, you're letting me know it's working. So thank you, because I do want there to be an herbalist in every home. And I do want it to spread like wildflowers. So when I hear that it's not only impacting you and your knowledge, but your grandson and your husband, mm-hmm. who is of an older generation, who mm-hmm. oftentimes is hard to convince those older generations that maybe we need to change things, right?
Yes.
And I also know that you're going to take this knowledge into the field that you worked in for so long.
Yes.
And that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's incredibly beautiful. So I'm so grateful for you and to have you inside of the community and sharing your questions and sharing your answers and your experiences and your wisdom and letting your grandson come on and share his experiences and wisdom at the age of 9. Like, that's beautiful. And I am so excited to see how this will help you continue to impact more and more people that you see every single day, including your friend who is now interested.
Yes.
That is making herbalism spread like wildflowers. Oh, God. Oh, so good. Yeah, that's what I found inside of the program. Like, as we're getting more and more people in, there are so many people coming from various aspects of the medical field. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
It's how we make the system better.
Yes, it is.
At the root, the people working in it.
Well, when I make it to Oregon, I'm going to squeeze you.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go down that trail that you're always going down and look at all the beautiful wild medicine.
I've got hundreds and hundreds of trails to take you down. The one I share pictures is literally like my backyard. I'm so currently amazing. Blessed to be on. And I can't wait to introduce you to all my plant friends, Terry. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time and sharing your story. I can't wait to
thank you for even asking me. I feel like I ran in circles, but
I love your stories. I love talking with you. So I can't wait to do it more.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thank you. I want to squeeze you and hug you right now. Oh, no, you didn't. You shared stories. You were real.
Okay.
It was a conversation. You know, we go in circles in conversation as humans, right?
Yes.
I think you had so much to share and so much emotion, and it's really beautiful to watch your story.
I was trying to be really careful about the whole pharma stuff. I have to be careful there.
Everybody's aware, if they aren't, they need to be.
And it's so strange because I have to there's certain names that even almost slip out and I have to be so careful, Mel. I have to be so careful.
I know. I produce a lot of content for the masses. And, you know, if you ever see my social media stuff, I have to be
very careful.
I am very careful in many ways because, I mean, it's nonstop that I get, what herb do I take for this? What herb do I take for that? And I'm like, you know what? If I sit there and answer all your damn questions, I also have to pay my bills. And I struggle with that still to this day because I've been working really hard on the back end of building out this platform. And I honestly had no idea that it would take me as long. And obviously I'm building more and more all of the time, but every lesson I put together, even if it's a 5-10 minute lesson, takes me 3 to 5 hours to put together.
I can't imagine. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding either. Taking him to baseball practice, like I would try to, and I use these big headphones because I can't wear earbuds. My ears are too small for earbuds. I can't find any. So I wear these big old, this is the one with a microphone. Otherwise, I wouldn't have one. Mm-hmm. They're huge.
Nice.
And so I will walk around.
I have a set of those right here too.
Okay. Yes. There you go. Those are the ones. And so I will wear those in the car while he's at baseball practice trying to get a lesson. And, but then I'm like, trying to take notes in a car is just like everything's awkward, but just trying to get that time in. But like I said, since 94, I'm telling you, there's been so many derailments and a lot of them have been, my stepson and 60-hour work weeks and, you know, coming in at midnight, eating whatever I could find in the fridge, go to bed, get up and go to work the next day and do it all over again. Yes. And that leaves no time for any other knowledge or information. And so it's almost like this whole, because I stopped working specifically because we got full custody of him. So we've got to shift gears. I got to figure this out. We've got to, you know, whatever. Well, financially, we're not going to be able to continue to do that because when it was just me and my husband, so our budget was based on two full-time jobs, plus we both had part-time jobs doing domestic violence. And now we're down to one full-time job. So it's like, I've got to go back to work. I have to go back to work. We just don't have a choice. But I've been derailed so many times with big things. I had a sister who was born, and I know this is not a popular term, but she was born physically and mentally retarded. Mm-hmm. And so she was 13 months younger than me. And so our whole lives, she was special needs. And so I spent a lot of time back and forth at the hospitals with her because she had a lot of medical problems. And so there was all of that was going on. And then my dad got sick, my mom got sick, and they're all in Houston. So I was back and forth. Then we lost my sister. Then we lost my dad. We almost lost my mom. And then the fight for him started. It was like, for the last, well, since 2012, mm-hmm. it's like it's been, and that's not counting my husband's son, all the stuff with him. Just since 2012, it's just been so much. And I just realized that's been 11 years of nonstop stress and trauma, just nonstop. And Houston is a 10 to 12 hour drive from here. And I have neck and back issues as a result of physical assault from my stepson. Mm-hmm. So I don't drive that well. So I was flying and that got expensive. Well, then my sister put me on their flight thing because her husband works for one of the airlines. Well, anyway, that was only if a seat was available. So that was kind of like, I would spend a lot of time in airports. It was just so much stress. And then finally things kind of started calming down just in the last couple of years when we got full custody. And then the school stuff kicked in and I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say this. Those sons of bitches don't have any respect for parents.
Yep.
At all. And mm-hmm. I finally told them, I'm done. You don't have, if you're more concerned about my grandson getting to have a donut or a piece of candy as a reward because he sometimes feels left out, then you are the fact that he's struggling in math or stockpiling his water in his locker because he doesn't drink it. Nobody's watching him at school, so he didn't have to. But yet you don't work with me on his math issues, but you're gonna text me and even call me to see if he can have candy as a reward because he sometimes feels left out. I don't care if he feels left out every day of the week.
Yeah,
I am more concerned about
what's going to happen
to his body. Yeah, yes. Exactly. And so when you're talking about your mother-in-law, I'm thinking, oh, my God, the school. And if my mother-in-law was still here, it would be the same issue. I'm just like, my mother is, and she's in Houston, so she's 12 hours away. But my mother would be like all over giving him donuts and whatever. Oh, you want that? Sure, you can have it. No. And
my daughter didn't have sugar until she went to preschool. And then it was Halloween and she came home with Kit Kats and Snickers. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
What happened?
You look at school lunches and hospital lunches. Yes. Like it's all an ever evolving system to fuck us all.
Those prepackaged, full of toxins, nothing real at all. So I've packed a lunch for this one since the day he started school. Mm-hmm. And I am fighting uphill all the way because then there was that period of time where I don't know if they did that there, but they did here in Texas during the pandemic. All of a sudden, all the food there in the lunchroom was free.
Yeah.
I'm like,
are you trying to get rid of something? How did we find
the money to do that? Yeah. How did that happen? Mm-hmm. So I was then battling the fact that he had access. So I would have to text the teacher. He cannot eat in the cafeteria. He cannot have cafeteria food. And then we have no nuts in our school. And so, or in the classroom. So his snacks, I had to work around that, find healthy snacks that were not, you know, nut or healthy related. I'm like, y'all are tying my hands too much. Like I can't, I can't.
I don't fit well on the system.
I don't either. And what's really strange, and not to go into politics or anything, but it is incredibly strange because I absolutely do not fit in the system. But I am a conservative, mm-hmm. and it's like that. I don't fit in the system mm-hmm. at all. Yeah. And so I'm like, the system doesn't fit anybody.
I don't fit in either political category.
I really don't either, Mel, because I think they're all crooked and yep. I think that they're all evil.
Yep, they are. I definitely lean left if you couldn't gather that, but
I do, and that's okay. And I'm good with that. But
right.
I lean more right, but it's like, I don't like any of them.
Yeah, they're all corrupt.
I don't bastards. Like any of them.
Just like the school system, just like the medical system, like all of it. Yeah.
I don't like the system at all. And the school system is so corrupt. And I'm just going to say it, that the medical system has become part of the problem. And it's sad because I know that we have some amazing doctors that are not part of the problem, but they are being silenced almost.
Yep.
And it's so sad. So when I see like was like, remember I was telling you about the naturopath that we saw during when we had COVID, because mm-hmm. I thought we were going to die literally, but I refused to go to the hospital because I just knew that they'd put the, I'm not, they're going to put us on that regimen that is killing everybody. And I'm not doing it. I'm just mm-hmm. not going to do it. I'll die at home. But mm-hmm. it was almost like an exchange, a drug exchange in an alley or something. It was the strangest, most surreal experience. Like, here we are. He's giving me a bag of herbs. And I'm giving him money. It was hilarious. Said, oh my gosh, this is so, how funny, how ironic. Yeah. And of course, I'm wearing a mask and he's not, I mean, he was out there trying to explain everything to us and it was all Chinese herbs. So, mm-hmm. And then I had COVID brain, I'm sorry, but I was really on death's bed.
Yeah.
And when I got home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if a friend of mine, I said, it tastes like earwax. She said, how do you know what earwax tastes like? And I'm like, I don't know. Chin on pins. I don't know. But anyway, it's gross. They are so gross, but I'm so thankful that we made it through. But it's sad to me that I couldn't turn to a general
practitioner
doctor. I mean, come on. I was scared mm-hmm. to call one. We had just lost a friend of ours died in the hospital. They were giving him medications he was asking them not to give him. He was, they put him on the respirator and we lost him. And we lost a couple of friends during that time. I got so afraid, not that I wasn't already, because I'm paranoid by nature, you know, it's trauma related. But anyway, I don't trust people. So, and I generally have a pretty decent instinct for people, for humans, but, mm-hmm. I got to where I wasn't trusting anybody during that time. It was like, I don't trust anybody anymore because there's something really dark about what's going on in our world right now. It was not, and I have theories about that. And I've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist, but anyway.
Yeah.
Call me what you will.
It's a wild, wacky, it's not a good system.
It's not a good system. And it's scary. And we have some amazing doctors, though, that are being that don't have a voice. They don't have a voice. Yeah.
Well, that's why I do what I do. It's like my act of rebellion. Like, I'll use my loud, boisterous voice and just be like, here.
I'm glad I get to, yeah.
Damn the man.
Yes,
damn the man.
Exactly. That's me.
Yeah. So it's what I'm here to do. I am fully aware of that now after I get through all my imposter syndrome bullshit. But I have to get going. I have things I got to do. And then I have a softball game and la la la. A softball game is the fun part, but the things
that's
between now and then are technology and yuck yuck. Would you, I'm so excited to share this with everybody. Thank you again. And I am hoping that you might take like 1 or 2 minutes quickly and just shoot a video and say whatever you want to anybody considering joining Apothecary Mama or what has helped you or
yes.
anything they need to hear. And I could use that as a testimonial on my.
Yes. And page. This is for the Apothecary Mama, right?
Yeah. If you want to do it for Medicine Making Mama also, I'd be so grateful if you're like,
do can I do it both in one video?
Maybe you could, but separate might be better so that it's, so I'm like,
it's not confusing.
I'm working on trying to bring a little less confusion in like which one is which. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be like some aesthetic changes coming in the background and just a little bit of tweaking on the messaging. Because I started building this out a year ago now when I closed down Mountain Mills a year ago now. Like this is my last day in my old shop.
Oh, wow.
In 2022. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I actually just went into the shop 2 days ago for the first time. And there's a lady in there that just moved from Indiana to our tiny rural tourist community. And she has this beautiful shop. Like she's got fancy lights and crystals and la-di-da. They're all way overpriced. It's a Persian rug store. We're in a pretty rural area. I wish this lady a lot of luck.
Right.
I'll leave it at that. It's a luxury item store and luxury for most people that live around here means you bought a brand new pair of kick-ass skis or a $7,000 mountain bike. So
that's funny. Like but anyways, Persian rug is not necessary.
Yeah. And especially in this economy, like nobody's buying anything. So I have limiting beliefs and doubts I'm working on in that and just recognizing the value that I have worked so hard to put into these programs over the last year and kind of recognizing what I am offering to people. I am raising the price to Apothecary Mama, which does not affect you or anybody that's in there currently, but I'm going up to $67 a month and I've had limiting beliefs and doubts on it. And then I'm like, no, like, I am there live.
So much.
Live I mean, once there's a week. And to work with me one-on-one, you're looking at $190 for your first consultation. So, or you can have me for $67 a month and get access to other incredibly brilliant herbalists. And
I went through the same thing whenever, I was asked to do some consultation stuff. And when I was started looking at the kind of the overall pricing or whatever that was being charged, it was $75 an hour. It's now $135.
Yeah.
But I started looking, I'm like going, oh my God, that is way too much. Of course, I come from the world of not-for-profit. So it's like, I've not been making any money.
Right. I haven't been making money in years, Terry. I don't even make money now as I have what I'm building. Like I pay my team to help me. And I'm like, that's got to shift. I need
that's
to pay
gotta
me.
That's got to shift.
Like I deserve to make great money doing what I'm doing. So.
And it's too much information for you not to. I mean, I agree. Yeah. I think that you deserve it.
Thank you. Yes. And I'm going to continue to put lots of love and attention and time into it. So I do got to go. I want to chat with you forever and ever. And if you could record.
I will.
Quick.
Do I just send it through the email? Or
you could send it through email. You could probably send it to me through Messenger also.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
If Messenger doesn't work, just anything simple on your phone. Again, doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be real. That's all.
I will do that. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Thanks,
you
Mel.
You made my day. I woke up in a bad mood.
You made my day.
You just fixed it. So
have
thank
a good
you.
One.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends. so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.